James chapter number 4, if you would, please. This will be a little different. I told Brother Ray, they called me and asked me about this. Everybody has a heart for certain things. My burden for years has been revival to the local church. But my greatest burden has been the youth of America. My heart's desire is to see young people sell out to God. To make sure we keep them around old time religion. To hear shouting like you've heard in this service. And to experience what it's like to be around God. A lot of soldiers are going off the scene. There are more graves on the hillside than there have been in the past. And if God so tarries, there must come a generation that can continue to hold the blood-stained banner. I am not in the entertainment business. I am not running for office. I am simply just a country boy that God reached down to one day. Amen. Brother Steele, thank you for reminding me that I am nothing without him. But he's got a plan. Now, I'm trying to preach, but you just pray for me. Five thousand teenagers in America killed themselves last year. Five thousand from the age of 13 to 18. The second leading cause of death among young people. Apart from accident. I preached to 700 teenagers in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Out of 700 teenagers, I gave an invitation. I asked the question, not in a church I'm not familiar with, not in some organization out in Texas, not somewhere, but in fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches, 700 teenagers, I asked the question, how many of you have contemplated suicide? 100 hands rose. In that service, there was a young girl standing in the back middle section. Church kid. Problems in her home with her parents. Not her problem, their problem. Had got bitter. No one loves me. Sitting in that service that morning, Brother Arthur, she had purchased razor blades. She had planned her death that evening. No reason to go on. The Holy Ghost had burdened me to preach this message. I was actually listening to Brother Arthur preach, and I was sitting on the second row, and I mean, it just came from nowhere, sort of like that shout a while ago that really helped me. It just came from nowhere, and the Holy Ghost said, "What is your life?" And I think that's the problem. What is your life? That young girl at the end of that service, I had no idea. The altar's filled. I had no idea who was on the altar. At the end of that service, that young girl came down and got things right with God. I left the meeting and got home. Brother Greg Lynch's wife, Jill, called me and said, "Brother Chris, someone's coming to church Sunday morning with me, and you ought to give her to give a testimony. God did something in her life." And that young girl walked up in my pulpit and said, "I should be dead. I was going to take my life. It should have been over. But God spoke to me on that night. God dealt with my heart. God showed me that morning I needed to get right with Him. And now I can live knowing that God touched my life." Yeah. I want to say this, please don't be offended. For some reason we think because we carry a King James Bible and we go to an independent Baptist church and we know how to dress and cut our hair and tote our Bible and say the right things, we can even pronounce the words correctly when we shout, we think that eliminates us, Brother Tory, from what I'm preaching on today. How real is it to you, Brother Hazel? This is how real it is. A young boy coming on our bus route and his sister. A young boy gets in his room and because he wants to get high with friends on the internet, puts a rope around his neck trying just to get high and slips. And when he slips, the rope hangs him. And his sister that goes to our church walks in the room and finds her brother hanging in his room. Dead. All the family lost. What is your life? James chapter 4. Verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." What is your life? Why is it that in our country so many young people are taking their lives? I am convinced they have the wrong heroes. I am convinced that our homes are not strong enough. I am convinced that churches allow them to sit on the back pews and go through the motion when we ought to be involved in their life and reaching out and doing our best to get them to God and not training them up to be a clone independent Baptist, but to be somebody that loves God, full of the Holy Ghost, with the power of God in their life, and develop character that will last down the road. Timmy, I want you to join me on the platform, please. I have a chair for you. This is Timmy Belcher. We'll talk in just a minute. Have a seat, son. Let's bow together and pray. Brother Arthur, will you pray, sir? Amen. You can be seated. Pastor Hensley, will you stand up a moment? Gentleman standing in the back, 6'6", associate pastor at our church. Diagnosed with cancer when he was in his late 20s. Diagnosed again with cancer in his 30s. Lost a thyroid gland to that cancer, and only by the grace of God is he standing here now. Thank you, sir. The young man sitting to my left is named Timmy Belcher. When God gave me the message that I'm preaching, Timmy Belcher's life was coming to an end. At 10 years old, he was diagnosed. And Timmy, I can't even get it all out. Rhabdomyoma, sarcoma, something, whatever. He had cancer. At 10 years old, I was with his mom and dad as we were at the hospital. He had been hit by a baseball or a ball or something, and they were looking at a knot in his leg that they thought come from the baseball. And at 10 years old, I'll never forget this, I'm sitting there with his family. We've been laughing and talking as you do in the visitation room at a hospital. And I was sitting there, we were laughing and talking. And then the doctors, instead of coming in, I called his family out. And I knew in my mind something didn't seem right. In a few moments, I heard a mama's anguish in the hall. As that local hospital said that he has a deadly cancer. They said it is very important that we get him to Baptist Hospital. No child has ever lived through this. They said the percentage of survival to begin with was that 30-some or even lower percentage that he would even live at all. He's 10 years old. He went through chemo, radiation to the point they could burn no more. The cancer went into remission. We shouted. 2 years later, or less, it comes back. It is progressive. It moves from the lower part of your body up. It's mainly only in young people, and especially young boys. It is a muscle cancer that eventually attacks lungs and heart and even goes to the brain, and it literally has no cure. So this time at 12 years old, the percentage drops to 16%. And now at 14, it come back again. 6 months. Maybe we can slow it up. What is your life? We live our lives like we're going to live forever. Even as young people, you've got in your mind, I'm going to do my thing now, and I'll enjoy my life now. And later on, when it comes time, I'll get serious about this God thing. But can I tell you right now, you may not have later on. You may not have down the road. But thank God what you've got is right now. Right now in your life, you can be something for God. You can do something for God. You can make your life count for God. This is your life. I want to share several things with you. This will not be a camp meeting message. I told Pastor Stewart when they asked me to preach, it will not. I'm not really interested in shouting or amening as much as I'm interested today in you opening up your heart, looking at your life, saying, what is my life?
Right.
What have I done with my life? What really matters in my life? I want to say, first of all, this morning, there is the worth of life. Luke, the Bible says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I'm not going to get into theological things, but I personally do not believe the angels shout over people getting saved. I believe they're flying around the throne eternal, and they're crying, holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty. But there is a crowd among them angels. There is a crowd in heaven. And every time somebody gets saved by the grace of God, I believe when the name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe they're shouting over glory, over the worth of one sinner. That's right, one young man, one teenager, one mom and dad. What's the worth of life? It is so worthy that God would send His own Son, die for your sin and mine. If I'd have been the only one living, I'd have believed God would have still died for me. You say, preacher, they say that life doesn't matter. Friend, I say it does matter. It matters, it matters, it matters. Why? Because Jesus gave His life for you. I shared this across the country. I don't even go across the country. I preached 2 times in California, the rest of us in the South. So I shared it across the South. When God burdened me about teenagers, I was in Kingsport, Tennessee, in a public high school gym. I wasn't preaching. I was helping in a meeting. Evangelist David Harrison was doing high school meetings. Brother Greg Lynch and I were doing the front work for the meetings. We'd go into the town, meet with the pastors, get all the churches behind the meeting, get the pizza tickets ready for the teenagers, hand them out in the public school, and then we'd come into the gyms and we would preach, or he would preach, and Brother Greg and I would help with the altars and do all of that with young men at that time back in my 20s. We had a service in the public high school gym. Some of you remember this if you've been in some of our meetings. And I was in the public high school gym and I was sitting on the platform. Brother Lynch was there and Brother David had got done preaching, and there were so many young people getting saved. They were coming out of the bleachers and they were coming down the sides, and the altars were so filled. We had used every single worker we had that we could get to kids to lead them to Christ. There was nobody left. I looked over to my right. A little girl started coming out of the bleachers. She was 14 years old. She changed my life. She come walking out of the bleachers, and when she come out, she come down, and everybody was busy. So I got up in the platform, and I walked over to the steps, and I looked down to her, and she was weeping profusely. I mean, I'm not talking about crying. I mean, she was literally in agony weeping as she came down to the altar in a public high school gym. And I said to her, I said, sweetheart, can I help you? And then she changed my life. She said, sir, she didn't know to call me preacher. She didn't know what preacher was. She said, sir, nobody loves me. As a 20-some-year-old preacher, I'm looking at a little girl, Brother Steele, that just said to me, nobody loves me. I said, darling, what do you mean? I grew up in a home where mom and daddy loved me. I grew up around people, my family, brothers, well, God, well, they loved me. I grew up in a church where I was told all my life that Jesus loved me. A little girl's looking at me and said, nobody loves me. I said, darling, what do you mean? No one loves you. I'm talking about the worth of life. She said, my mom and daddy are getting a divorce. I believe it's my fault. She said, my boyfriend just broke up with me. You know, inside I'm thinking that's not a bad thing, but to her it was her world. You understand? To her it was her world. Now, I wasn't going to reprimand her. She's weeping at an altar about a boyfriend. She said, my boyfriend just broke up with me. She said, my mom and dad are getting a divorce. She said, sir, I don't have any reason to live. Nobody loves me. To be honest with you, at first I was dumbfounded. I really didn't know what to say. And I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, listen. Don't know that I can fix you, mom and daddy. Don't know that I even want to fix the boyfriend. But I said, I do know somebody. I didn't know that day, Brother Stewart, God's going to change my life. I didn't know that day that God was getting ready to give me a mantle. I didn't know that day that God was getting ready to pour in my life a heart's desire to say, let's don't let another generation get away from Him. But somebody introduce them to Jesus in old time religion. I told that little girl that Jesus loved her. Jesus? I said, sweetheart, that's what the preacher's preached about. I said, if you'll ask him into your life and trust him as your Savior, I said, he's the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And I said, by the way, he won't leave you. There won't be any divorce with him. When it's with him, it's fine. Hold up. There won't be anybody walking away. Thank God, with him, it's fine. Hold up. He'll walk with you and talk with you. He'll be there. You can count on him. Can I just say this right now? You know how important you are this morning? Do you realize, I'm talking about every one of you. I don't come in here. I don't care if you come in here with poor as dirt. I don't care if you come in here, you ain't got nothing in the world. I don't care if you come in driving a $100,000 car. Can I tell you right now, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I want you to know right now, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. You are worth something to God. That little girl gave her life to Jesus at that altar that day. She went her way, filled out her card, churches followed up. I never saw her again. But Brother Tim Ramsey, it changed my life. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, there's a whole lot of kids like her. Oh, everything we see at church isn't real, folks. Every home you think is solid is not necessarily solid. Huh? We got a whole lot of problems in our fundamental churches. Whole lot of problems in this movement of fundamental. I'll tell you what we better get back to. We better get back to loving God. We better get back to loving Jesus. We better get back to begging the Holy Ghost to show up where we are. We better get back to serving God with power and anointing and the touch of God. And we better have something on our plate when we preach. There is the worth of life. Secondly, there is the wonder of life. Watch this verse. I love this verse. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If God makes something, he don't make junk. There are no throwaways with God. You say, preacher, I'm not the prettiest person in my youth group. There are folk uglier than you. I learned that a long time ago. I rejoice when I see somebody uglier than me. There's a whole lot of people pretty, but hallelujah, there's a lot the other way. Amen. Praise God. When you get a glass of water half full, quit thinking about a half full, think half empty. Thank God it's about a half full, and just realize it's not as bad as you think it is.
Right.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made, Sam. I am. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Somebody came on my Facebook page the other day, and we got teenagers in this meeting. I don't know where they're all at today, but Lord, we've been hit this week a lot with emails from young people in this meeting. I've had parents email us. We've had teenagers email us this week that are talking about, preacher, my mom needs saving. My dad needs saving. My sister's in got with drugs. I'm telling you, it's been inundated this week. Folks watching on the internet in West Virginia and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Folks have been calling us from other places, watching in on this meeting, Pastor Stewart, and staying mad. We need something from God. We need something in our homes. We're losing our families. There's the wonder of life. Everybody in this building is fearfully, wonderfully made. Everybody. God doesn't make junk. There's the worth of life. Stay with me a moment now. I told you, this is not today to pat the preacher on the back, nor is any message, I'm sure, ever. But I just want you to get my heart a minute this morning. Thirdly, there is the waste of life. What is your life? The Bible says about Abner, and the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. In other words, the Bible said he died like a fool. Hey, can I tell you this? It is foolish to waste our life. It is foolish to throw our life away. Friend, it won't be long and we'll be checking out of here. It won't be long and we'll be gone. And the only thing that's going to last is what we did for Christ. That's all that's going to matter. I saw this morning on Fox News where Tim Tebow's just getting ragged by the media. If you know anything about him, he just graduated Florida. He's a quarterback for Florida. Every time you look at him, he's got a Bible verse on his face. He witnesses to people. He gives out gospel tracts. He loves Jesus. And his mama had the choice to have an abortion or not and chose to keep him. And now God's using his life to touch others. And some commentator said, well, he may not be that great of a quarterback because he's got all these flaws. While I was listening to that guy talk, I was thinking about this. It may not really matter. It may not matter how good he can throw a ball. It may not matter if he makes millions. But if he'll take his life and use it for the glory of God and reach somebody else, that's all that really matters anyway. And he's laying up treasures in heaven instead of down here. That'll never get you on Sports Illustrated. That'll never get you on ESPN. But buddy, there's another place that'll be paying attention. And there is a Hall of Fame that's looking on. And there is a crowd of Hebrews 11 that decided, I'd rather serve God than have the riches of this world. I'd rather serve God than be a part of this world. Hallelujah, what a Savior to serve. There is the waste of life. You say, preacher, I got a long time. That's what Timmy thought. I remember when his parents stopped by my house. Come home to the hospital. Timmy didn't even know everything. Matter of fact, you weren't even with him. It was your mom and dad. We got there probably about 9, stayed to probably 1 in the morning. My couch was wet with tears. Preacher, they told us that they can just slow it up, but it's over. The worth of life. The wonder. The waste of life. Hey, young people, you can play games. You can go to church. Be a little independent Baptist kid. Oh, you know what to wire there. You know what everybody expects you to say. But what are you when you leave? What about on the computer in your room when your parents aren't there? What about when you're texting on your phone when nobody can see it but you? What are you really? What is your life? Could we put it up on the screen today? Take a good look at it. What is your life? Well, preacher, I have you to know that I want to enjoy my life. I'm young. I got saved when I was 17. I thought before that I was enjoying my life. Lord, have mercy. But when I got saved by the grace of God, I realize the kind of joy that you can have serving Him. Friend, can I tell you right now, if I had to go back and do it all over again, when they birthed me in the delivery room, I'd have said, hey, somebody get Jesus. Amen. Hey, I like it, don't you? Thank God I'm glad. Thank God I'm glad. God saved me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm glad to be a child of God. I'm going to raise my hands high. I'm going to glorify God. Why? Thank God He saved me. Little Paquette, stand up right there. What an awesome thing. I looked over at you a while ago. You were singing that song. I glanced over at your mama and your daddy over there. Glanced over and, Lord, he's doing everything he can to keep them tears rolling out of his face. Hey, let me tell you something. You may not ever, and I hope you don't, walk down some beauty pageant, though you're pretty enough, but fooey on that mess, amen?
Right.
They don't put enough clothes on. Fooey on that mess. Huh? Hey, you may not ever do that. You may not ever hit some ball out of some park on a softball field. You may not be the greatest singer on some idol stage with a bunch of sodomites, but can I tell you this right now, and I give you this with everything I got, and them tears running down your daddy's face, a God looking down from heaven that's pleased with you, and me, more than anything else will ever mean. Just stay right there. I'm going to tell you something. You are my hero. I said you are my hero. You know why? You're my hero because you're fearfully and wonderfully made, because your life matters to God. And one day, hallelujah, hold up that banner, take up that mantle, and serve the God of your mom and daddy, sir. Where's my other little one? Where's she at? Won't you look? Won't you take a good look, okay? Won't you take a good look? Hey, girls, look. I know it's been rough at times, and I know in the world standards, somebody might look at you and say, oh, they don't have a whole lot, or oh, they might not have much. I want you to take a good look at a godly heritage. I want you to take a good look at a mama and a papa and a daddy that loves God. I want you to take a good look. Hey, that's what matters. That's what matters. You stand over there and sing. There might be somebody back here who could care less. But he cares. See up yonder, see that big smile up yonder, that red shirt. Oh, he cares. Mama cares. I'm going to tell you something else. Brother Chris cares. Brother Mark cares. Brother Tim cares. Hey, I'm proud of you. I don't care what the world says. Be a young lady and love God. Raise that baby to feel God all over him. Hallelujah, what a sing. You treat her real good. Because she ain't treated real good, I'd come down here and get in trouble. God developed a kinship a few years ago, did something in our heart, and I'm a dog if we're going to waste it. Amen. Hey, listen. Tomorrow, y'all stay right there. Instead of Timmy, sweetheart, it could be you. Son, you know what I'm telling you? Instead of him, it could be you. You could be getting ready to get checking out of here. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. I hope it does. You say, why do you hope it does? You know what I've learned, Preacher Stewart? You know what I've learned? That every day of my life is a gift from God. I've learned that every breath I take is a gift from God. I've learned in my life, hallelujah, that everything God's ever given me and every breath I ever take, I don't deserve it, but it's a blessing from God. Amen. Girls can have a seat. You say, preacher, he's always loving on them like that. Hey, can I tell you right now, you better thank God there's some papas. You better thank God there's some mamas. You better thank God there's some preachers. You better thank God there's some churches that are love on them. Because if we don't love on them, somebody else will. That's mine. She's my baby girl, my sweetheart. I love her more than life, man. Bubba. Daddy. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, I guarantee if every meeting you ever preach, travel this country, this world, everything you ever do, him living for God and that little joint living for God mean more to you than any of those meetings, anything that's ever happened. Hey, how many mom and daddies in here would be real proud of your youngins if they decided to live for God and be something for God? Hallelujah, that's all that really matters. I don't want to grieve anything, but I'm going to tell you right now what I'm just about up to here with. Parents. And I'm going to tell you I'm about up to here. I'm about up to here. And you know what comes after this? I throw up. Let me tell you what a problem is. Mama, you're more interested in your girl being some hottie in the school that every boy lusts after than being full of the Holy Ghost. Huh? You're more interested in your boy knocking some ball out of a park or running some touchdown than you are being full of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you what? If they don't go no farther, but slide in an altar, get right with God. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Hey, Mama. You ain't 17 no more. She don't need a sister or a buddy. She needs a mama. Huh? And she needs a mama full of the Holy Ghost. And she needs a mama that's got the power of God. And she needs a daddy that's got a touch of God on her. Had a lady come to me in a meeting a while back, and she said to me, and be careful, you know, I listen a lot and try to be real nice, but sometimes people just say stuff that I think, you know, you ain't even got a toy in your Happy Meal. She looked at me and said, I don't know what in the world we're going to do about this young generation. I looked at her and I said, straighten out the ones raising them.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen.
You know why we need revival? You know why we need jubilee? It ain't so them young people to get in. Honey, you get them around enough God, they'll get in it. We need our families to get full of God one more time. When you're involved preaching to young people, it gets amazing. I had a mama come to me, and I just laughed at her. She looked at me, and she said, I don't know what to do with my girl. I said, what's wrong? She said she locks her door, won't let me in her room. I said, who owns the house? She said, well, my husband and I said, kick her in. Amen. I told my daughter, as long as I pay the bills, as long as I own the house, it ain't your room, it's my room. Amen. And I'll go anywhere I want to go. And when you buy your house, you lock me out. What you got in your life so private your mom and daddy can't take care of? Some of y'all don't look at the floor. I'm not praying yet. Hey, see a little girl over here? Guess what I found out? Wasn't long after she's born. She ain't perfect. I found that out. Now, she doesn't know it yet, but I know it. How don't you watch? I look at her cell phone from time to time. I follow her when she's on the internet, though she has to do that in our living room, not in some other room, but I follow her on it. You say, well, preacher, you just don't trust her. You're exactly right. Amen. You say, why don't you trust her? Because she's been wrapped around the same flesh that I am. I can't even trust myself. How in the world? I can't even trust myself. You say, is that Bible? Paul said, in me dwelleth no, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Don't give me this mess. Well, I'm grown. You don't know what grown is. Wait till you got 40 bills laying on a table and taking care of a family and a baby throwing up on your shoulder and taking care of this. You'll find out growing up is. Teenager, can I tell y'all something? Enjoy your life. Lord, you're young enough. You can be depressed later on to get married. Enjoy your life right now. Got a few things I want to share, and I'll be done. Maybe. Hey, men of God, I learned this. Our kids don't watch us near as much as in pulpits they do in the house. I asked a group of teenagers one time, I said, why do some of y'all seem to get out of church when you get 16, 17 years old? I got a lot of answers, but one of the answers I got, I never got over one kid said, the ride home. Girl told me, said, I'm sick and tired of my mom and dad going to church, shaking a preacher's hand, telling him how much they love the message, and as soon as we get in the car, having for fried chicken all the way home. She said, as soon as I can get out of this bunch of hypocritical garbage, I'm done. I had a mama come to me and say, Brother Chris, I've got a major issue with my girl. I said, what is it? She said, she likes boys. I told her, I said, what's the issue? I try to keep my daughter on the right track all the time. I mean, she's not allowed to date till she's 18. Then it's a double date with her mama and I.
Amen.
You say, preacher, you won't do that. Ask her. Huh? Right? Don't you listen to something? Hey, I'm going to tell you something right up front about this thing. Hey, I see sometimes I go to church and see some boy with his arm around a girl, they're about 15 years old. So I'll ask him. I'll say, son, can I ask you a question? Yes, sir. Is that you going to marry her? He said, oh, no. And I said, well, get your hands off another man's wife then. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. You know what's amazing? I can preach like this in a lot of places. Teenagers, they don't run from me. They'll come to me. I'll get more email. I'm telling you, they don't run from this. Parents do. You know what a lot of parents are afraid of? That their kids are going to get full of the Holy Ghost, and if they do, it's going to check their life, and they ain't going to know what to do with it, and they're going to get scared to death. My young is full of God, and I don't know what to do. We got done with the youth conference this year in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, one of the greatest meetings we've ever had. Dr. Steele, Brother Joe, Brother Ralph, Brother Larry Brown, myself got to preach to those kids. Man, we had a time, got done with that meeting. There was a group of kids went back to North Rockwood, Tennessee. North Rockwood, Tennessee. They get back to North Rockwood, Tennessee. They couldn't even get out of the bus when they got in the parking lot. It literally broke out so much in the bus, them kids on fire, that in the parking lot, the police showed up. When the police showed up, they were called by somebody down the road, said some big ruckus is going on up there at that church, some big party's going on. You better let that preacher know. The police drive in and say, what in the world's going on? And them youngins started hollering, my friend got saved, my buddy got saved. Somebody, and they were shouting all over that parking lot, or somebody got saved. Since that meeting, almost 100 teenagers have come to Christ. Let me tell you how big a deal it is. The school principal called Brother Greg Lentz. The school principal of a public school said, sir, you're going to have to do something about what's going on over there at that church. He said, what do you mean? He said, we can't control these kids in school. He said, it's Jesus this and Jesus that. Said, they're talking to their friend. He said, we have lost control. Brother Greg said, I didn't start it, and I ain't going to stop it. Amen? Hallelujah! We need some of that. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They have 12 to 14 usually in their Fellowship of Christian Athletes class. The other day they showed up, 60. That's a pretty good church growth. Can I say this to you? Don't waste your life. Listen, I've done been the Bud Dumber, the Miller Low Life, all that garbage. Listen, don't waste your life. Real quickly now, I'll try to wind down. I'm not, you know, Brother Stewart, he's messing with my heart. You know, when he tells me preach this, he knows me. And he knows what I'm saying, but it's my heart. You know, I mean, this morning, I'm like every preacher. When I get done preaching, Brother Joe, Lord, he just nailed me to the wall last night about that deal about your wife, you know. About every message I preach, I'll tell Miss Winnie, boy, I flopped tonight. Man, I didn't do it. Man, that was the guy. And, you know, sometimes she's just brutally honest. You know, well, I've heard better. She wasn't quite as bad about got better material because I pretty much don't have no better material. So that's pretty much it. When I get in meetings like this, personally, I really don't care. Amen. I don't care. And it's not, you can save the nickel. You don't have to come and say, well, I think all that hollering about young people, they got to enjoy their life. Lord, have mercy. Serving God, is anybody in here enjoying your life? Yeah. All you folks over 20, be quiet a minute. Are there any teenagers in here enjoying serving God? Just jump up and wave your hand at me real quick. Amen. But any teenagers enjoy serving God? None of y'all enjoying serving God? I'll give you one more chance, and then I'm going to jerk you up. Amen. I'm just kidding. It's fun, isn't it? Isn't it fun, Sam? Hey, isn't it fun? What's your, amen, what's your name? Huh? Matt. Bothering you because everybody's looking at you? I love you, buddy. Thank you for helping me up here. Real quickly, life is a gift. How many believe that? Life is a gift. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor, appear for a little time, then vanish away. Life is a gift. Secondly, life is good.
Yes. Amen.
I want to read you one of my favorite passages in the Bible. You don't have to turn there. This is one of my favorite. This is my revival book of the Bible. My revival book. When I'm really seeking God for personal revival, this is the book I go to, the book of Habakkuk. Listen to this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. My feet like hinds feet. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. You know what Habakkuk is saying? Life is good. Every preacher sometime or another will get people in his church that never have a good day. I always feel bad when I feel good because I know I'm going to feel worse. There are some people I don't ask them how they're doing. I mean, I'm depressed enough, man. I just don't ask. Brother Stewart, there is a crowd. They may not have the largest bank account. They may not drive the finest car. They may not even have the best health. But one thing they do have is Jesus. And they know, hallelujah, that they have Him. And they know that's what matters. And they have the joy of the Lord. Now I'm going to give you this and I'm done. Watch. Timmy's 14. 6 months to live. Tumors came back. Both of them the size of golf balls, side by side, pushing against his kidneys. Next stops the lungs, it's over. Brother Ralph Jr., Brother Greg, some other folks were over in Israel on a trip where Brother Joe and I are going to wait to go after the rapture. I'll tell him, say, y'all crazy, man, but anyway. I called Brother Lynn, so I said, tell Brother Ralph I want him to go when y'all stop in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want you to pray for Timmy, God heal him. I started calling churches around the country. We got people contacting us. 6 months. The best team of doctors at Baptist Hospital has to offer tells him it's over. Nobody's ever made it. A lot of people started believing it, except him. He told me, he said, preacher, it's not over.
Amen.
He said, preacher, you told me one day God was going to use my life. Timmy goes for a few weeks of chemo, just a few weeks, and the chemo was to start slowing the tumor up so it wouldn't push his lungs together so much so he could breathe a little longer. So they start the chemo, he loses his hair. He drops to 86 pounds in just a few weeks. After a few weeks of the chemo, they take him in for scans. They go into the room to scan Timmy's body. The lady doing the scan works with him a moment, and she stops. She said, son, can I ask you a question? He said, yes, ma'am. He said, are you Timmy Belcher? He said, yes, ma'am. He said, she said, you have, what's the name of that cancer? Say it loud. Rhabdomyoma. You know, that's sick in itself right there. You have that cancer? He said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, your daddy's name's Timmy Belcher, mama's Jody. Yes, that's my family. Your doctors are so-and-so, seven of the best team that Baptist has. Yes, ma'am. She said, will you wait a minute? She walks out, another lady comes in, supervisor, and said, Timmy, we want to do a few more scans before we talk to your dad. So they go in, and Timmy said, and how did you word it? They turned you like what? Like a pancake. He said, preacher, they turned me one way, the other way. He said, then the head lady got to shaking. And she said, son, is your name Timmy Belcher? Ma'am, I've told you who I am. You have rhabdo whoever cancer? Yes, ma'am. Where's your daddy? He's in the lobby. We'll be right back. Timmy Belcher, his dad's out in the lobby. Come to him. Mr. Belcher, we need you to come back. By that time, they're calling one of the head doctors at Baptist, another doctor that's dealing with the situation. They come walking in. And the lady says, Mr. Belcher, here's our scan here a couple weeks ago. Those tumors were trying to slow up. And Mr. Belcher, we can't even find a nodule. Said, Mr. Belcher, just to be honest, we don't know what to do. We got to get somebody to help us. The best that Baptist has to offer. Timmy said he was just kind of looking at him going. Timmy said, preacher said, God's going to use my life. God's not done yet. They put the scans on screens and the doctor's glasses down on his nose and he's... They said, Timmy, you don't have cancer. They said, no kid's ever lived through this. They said, we should be preparing you for the end of your life. But you don't have cancer. He goes back the next day. They're still doing chemo. Still the treatment's going on. He goes back the next day and he said he's coming down the hall and everybody's just looking at him like.
Glory to God.
A lost doctor comes in. Mr. Belcher, how are you? Up in years. And by the way, please don't misunderstand me. God does not heal everybody. But God can do it. And if you don't believe that, quit praying, thou hypocrite. If you don't believe God can.
Said he walks in to me. I'm telling you right now, don't let me lie. You know how preachers always exaggerate stuff, make it sound better. All right? We don't lie, though. Said he sits down to me. Am I right? Said, oh, sit down under the bed. Was that right? Right. He said, son, I hear you got some good news. Timmy said, yes, sir. He said, and you, did you tell them or the others? Said you, well, I was just kind of expecting that. You told me. He said, I was just kind of expecting that. Hey. His mama come weeping to me. You know what they've been praying for? Lord, please slow that tumor up so that he can live longer and we can enjoy more. And instead of God doing that, God stepped around his mama and stepped over in that heart and got rid of them tumors. And I'll do better than that. Instead of slowing it up, I kick it up. And I say, to God be the glory. 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 Doctor made a statement to him to turn my crank. Watch this. He said, well, Timmy, yawn. He said, you're in uncharted waters. Ain't nobody been here before. Y'all by yourself on this one. Timmy said, I wish somebody'd help me. Hey, I'm about to lose it. Somebody help me, Tim. Hey, can I tell you right now? He wasn't alone the first time. He wasn't alone the second time. He ain't alone now. And whatever comes, he won't be alone again. So I ask you, girls, what is your life? What is your life? Hey. Some of you teenagers back here. What is your life? What do you want it to be? What do you want to do for God? What is your life? God's made you special. What is your life? I'm going to show you something, and I'm done, preacher. But I feel a little bit of anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm going to show you something. Brian, just because I know you, can I use you a minute? Come here. I'm going to show you something. This is going to be one of those Brother Tommy Steele illustrations. Okay, just stand right here. All right? Now, I need some big, ugly person to be the devil. Come here, Brother Mark. And the only reason I'm doing that, because he's a youth pastor and I know him. He's a handsome guy. Amen. Let's release. That's what he told me. All right. So here. Stay right there. Stay and look at her. Won't you listen to me now? I want to help you. My tire's the devil. Point your finger at her. You know what the devil's saying? I want you. Years ago, I asked my daughter, I told my daughter, I saw this one time on a Uriah Heep album cover. She said, Daddy, what's an album? I said, it's before 8-track came along. I want you to watch this. A Uriah Heep album cover years ago, you know how the albums you slid into, Brother Joe? On the back of the album, it had a little girl, 5-6 years old, in a pretty white dress, laying in a little room that was real pretty and white. She was laying there sleeping with a little teddy bear. And it had this blood-sucking demon standing outside the window, looking at her, pointing at her like this, doing that. And we think it's just music.
Right. Yeah.
I want you to watch this. Mark, come here. I know y'all running that stuff. I need you. Can you come down? Can you make it run? Come on down here. Anthony. I'm sorry. I'm saying Mark. Anthony. I got you on my mind. Anthony, come on real fast, buddy, okay? Just, you know, like, other words, like run. Preacher, come here. Preacher, I want you, if you would, just stand right here. And would you turn this way right here. Keep turning. Right there. Would you stand right? Back up just a minute. Right there. Stand there. Brother Mark, I want you to stand right here in front of your baby girl. Well, one of them.
That's okay.
Just Brother Anthony, I'm sorry. I'm used to talking to him because he aggravates me. Stand right here. Actually, I need you. You just lost being the devil. Stand right here. Brother Hensley, come here and be the devil. Hurry up, son. Come on. You're on payroll day. Get in here. I'm just giving you the day off. Here's my bodyguard. Right. You now the devil. You pretty, but you're the devil. All right. Point your finger at him. Just hold up. Kind of look mean. Can you look mean? Yeah, I didn't think you could. You got a mean bone. Don't you watch this now. Brother Steele, can you help me, buddy? Come here just a minute. I want you to watch now. Here's an old-fashioned preacher God sent to Brother Steele's church. Brother Stewart's church. I'm 45, man. Just give me a break. All right. Now, don't you watch. Devil wants to get to her. But here's what I tell my young people. In order to get to her, you got to come by that old-fashioned preacher that's preaching that revival. You got to get by that youth pastor that's pleading the blood over. You got to get by the pawpaw full of the Holy Ghost that's been preaching for years. You got to get by a daddy that says, yeah, before you never get here. And can I tell every young person this? Before you ever get to you, they're going to have to step over me. They're going to have to step over here. They're going to have to step over here. They're going to step over here before they ever get to you. We need somebody to stand in the gap. Thank you, guys. Brother Tommy, was that a pretty good illustration? Okay, good. Thank you. I ask again this morning, while the Paquette elder children are getting ready to sing, I ask you again this morning, what is your life? First song you sung. Just play it softly, sweetheart. First song you sung. Timmy, come here. Is this on, Brother Anthony? Tell them what Jesus means to you.
I just want to thank God for saving me and everything that He's done for me. If it wasn't for Him, I don't think I'd ever get through this at all. He just gave me. When I went to the doctor, he gave me a real piece about it, and the doctor said I had 6 months. It really blew me away, but God picked me back up and brushed me off and said, you'll be okay, and just follow me, and I did. And I just love Him, and I just want to say thank you, God, so much, God, for everything that you've done for me. I can never repay the debt, God. I just want to thank you so much.
Love you, man. To God be the glory. 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 Hey, teenager, can I ask you a question? Did you want your life to matter? Do you want your life to count? Are you tired of being the average young person in your youth group? Are you tired of being the average kid that comes to church? Are you ready to go another step? Are you ready to go another mile? Are you ready to get in Cain and say, I want to be something for God? I want you to get out of that pew right now if you're a teenager, young man, young woman. Preacher, I want to be something for God. Preacher, I want to serve God. Preacher, I want my life to count. I'm not worthless. I'm not useless. God can use my life. Would you come? Just keep on coming. Would you come? Why don't you right now get on that altar? Pray God fill you with the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, I'm saved. Yeah, but unless that Holy Ghost has control of every area of your life, you're not where you need to be. I know one baptism, but buddy, I believe you can get real full. Am I right about that? You know I'm right. Hallelujah. Just keep on coming. Keep the eyes open. Keep on coming. Don't your heads bow just a moment. Surely there's somebody in this building that's never trusted Christ. Somebody in this building today, say, preacher, is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for me? Preacher, is there any hope for me? Is there any hope? Can I tell you today, my dear friend, as long as there's a God in heaven, and there is. That's right, boys. Keep on coming. Lord God, pour it on them. Some of you men of God right now, I know we can't get here, but plead the blood over these youngins. Pray God to raise up a generation in a God that knows old-time religion. Praise God to raise up a generation that knows what it's like to walk in the glory of God. Pray God to do that. Hallelujah. Now listen. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, my relationship with the Lord is that I'm lost. I don't know him. I'm not saved. Preacher, if I died right now, you might be in a Christian school. You might be in a Christian home. Your daddy might be a preacher. Your family might be a preacher. But you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. If I died right now, preacher, I don't have hope that I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I wonder right now. Every head's bowed. I wonder right now if you'd let me pray for you. Say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't have the assurance I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you slip that hand up right now real high? You can put it right back down. Preacher, would you pray for me? Preacher, would you pray for me? I don't have that assurance. Preacher, if I died right now, I don't have that assurance. Would you pray for me? Would you slip it up right now? God's waiting. God's waiting. God's waiting. Would you slip it up right now? Anybody at all? Not here to put a notch on the belt, not here for numbers. I just want you to know when you leave this building, you're saved by the grace. Teenagers, don't leave, won't you stay? Don't leave, just stay right at the altar. Don't leave me yet. Don't leave me. Once you get done praying, just stand, but don't leave me. Pray as long as you want. I wonder how many young people listen to me preach today, and don't you listen to them, you'll be totally honest. You're saved, but you're a long way from sold out. You know in your heart there's things in your life that God wouldn't be pleased with. And if you're going to go that next step with the Lord, you got to chunk it. You might be in a relationship that needs to end. Do you understand? The only kind of dating, and I don't even find dating in the Bible. The only kind of thing you find in the Bible is God getting you to pray for somebody to be in your life. And then God putting them in your life by the will of God. Don't waste your life running around with 47 people. Don't waste your life like that. Get in the holy of holies with God. And say, Lord, I want somebody in my life that you want there. And I'm willing to wait until you put them there. Because God, my life is worth something. My life counts. My life is fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want to be used to God. Listen to me, teenager. Young girl, listen to me. There'll be boy after boy break your heart if you don't wait on God. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, darling? It's all right. It's all right. There's a generation that's sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm talking about in our fundamental churches. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. We're grumbling, fussing at the house of God. Can't get along. Mom and daddy carrying on a bunch of junk in the house. And they're looking, man, is anything real? There's enough. There's enough on this altar to change America. There might be a president right here. Hey, you understand? I mean, if a man by the name of Obama can be the president of America, then one of them teenagers right there can be the president of America. You understand that? U.S. senators and congressmen. Maybe another Fanny Crosby songwriter. God called men of God that have been around the glory on Old Furnace Road at Gateway Baptist Church, seen the glory. Christian school, where you don't just go to go to some old Christian school, but you go because you're protected, because the Holy Ghost can help you. Your mom and daddy pay the money just to pray it. One day God's going to slide bullets out of your little desk, get a hold of your heart, snuggle up close to you and you close to Him. There's teenagers in here that go to public school. They can get enough of Holy Ghost on them. I've got them in my church. Get enough Holy Ghost on them. They're making Bible classes in their school. They're having Bible groups. They're praying with kids in their school. They're even winning them to God in their school. That could be you. I ask you again, look at me, young people. What is your life? My mom and daddy, preacher, I want you to listen to me just a moment. This song, I want you to listen to the words, and I wonder how thankful you are today. If you got a youngin that loves Jesus, you don't have to worry about where your little girl is at night. Where are your boys at? If you got a kid that wants to be something for God, if you're Joe Arthur and you got a bubba there that loves his daddy and flies in with him to a meeting, if you're Chris Hazen and you got a little girl that comes down and spends a couple days with her daddy so we can enjoy a meeting like this and fellowship together. And them little butterfly kisses at night, and I love you before I go to bed. I'm telling you, all the money in the world couldn't replace that, Brother Stewart. They're going to sing. Why don't we just take about 5 minutes, forget about where we got to be, what we're going to eat, and let's worship around our kids and let them know there is another generation before you that has not bowed the knee to Baal. We still believe in old time religion and we support them. Hallelujah. Sing it, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Just listen. Listen.
Hallelujah. I've missed out on heartache. This world feels every day. And I've missed out on a broken home that could steal my joy away. And I missed out on all the
help
things.
Help yourself, darling.
This world feels every day, and I missed out on a broken home that could steal my joy away, and I missed out on all the things they said I'd miss out
most
on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, but somehow I've a heart of peace when their good times are gone.
Sheltered by His grace, kept in a safe place.
Hallelujah.
Protected by the prayers of those who've always sought His face.
In a
world of shifting sand,
I can hold on to
can keep a life that's pure from shedding bitter tears. And the grace it brought me safe this far will safely lead me on. For the truth that
shifting sand. I can hold on to their hand, for they've guided me in how to run this race. And as the years go on, I'll be sheltered by His grace. 'Cause I've been sheltered by His grace, kept in a safe place, protected by the prayers of those who've always sought His face. And in a world of shifting sand, I can hold on to their hand, for they guided me in how to run this race. And as the years go on, I'll be sheltered by
Before I leave, Brother Stewart's coming. Do me a favor right now. I know in church we glorify God. I know in church we praise Him. But right now, can everybody here above 20 just real loud give our kids a hand and tell them we love them? Can you do it? Just give them. Do you mind that? Just real loud. Will you do it? Let them know somebody's pulling for them. Somebody loves them. Preacher.